Welcome back, folks. This is Mark Steiner. Good to have you with us here on The Mark Steiner Show and your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. A woman who I consider one of our great citizens and artists and a dear friend won MacArthur Fellowship, which means we call the MacArthur Genius Award. That's what many people call it. Joyce Scott is, people call her a local and visual performing artist. She's that and tons more, born and raised in Sandtown, still lives there, U.S. Arts Classical Fellow. And among many other things, her stuff hangs in museums around the country, which we'll talk about. That show you did, Joyce, in 2000, just kicking it with the old masters at the BMA.
Hey.
Hey, Joyce, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm all right.
I have a stevedore voice this morning. It's kind of early. But I'll become more sultry and less like Eartha Kitt later on.
But you were always sultry. What are you talking
thank
about?
Thank you very much. I'm not giving you any money, Mark.
Why not? Come on. But, you know, but this, you know, I thinking about this MacArthur Fellowship, I know how they do it. They just kind of call you up out of the blue and say, hey, you have this. It's not how it happens.
Yes. But I have been really having some painful health issues, and so I couldn't lie down in bed.
Mm.
And some of the time I would sleep on my desk. And I believe one of the mornings, it wasn't really a morning thing, but whenever they called me, I feel I've been sitting at my desk for a while, you know, trying to shake off the pain. And I got the phone call, and they were very polite, and I yelled, who is this? You know, I'm a roundaway girl from Baltimore.
Right.
Somebody gonna call me up. And, of course, I thought it was friends because of the Baker Award.
Right.
And they said, no, blah, blah. And I'm like, how do you prove this to me? How can this be true? And they said, here's a phone number. You can call us back. And then it started sinking in that it was the real thing. And then I became a three-year-old. What's happening? Really?
But it's amazing. I mean, I was thinking about how Baltimore has rolled them. Last year, Ta-Nehisi coached this year, Joyce Scott.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, and remember the director of our symphony, also, she got it one year.
Right.
And there's another person who also lately received it. I mean, it says a lot for Baltimore if people can see the balance and not just see us as folks who are rightfully having an uprising, but it tends to only get the you know, most worrisome parts about what's happening in our city on TV. And anytime you have anyone who is related to an honor like this, it's for the whole state. It's not just for me, although I will gladly carry the banner.
I know you will, and you will.
It really is for all of us. My neighbors, and I live in a really challenged neighborhood, are like, saw you on TV. All right, girl.
They call you the artist lady.
They call
the kids
me
do,
the
right?
Artist.
The artist
some
lady.
Call me the lady. But they do say for the cops, because, you know, the cops are like, why are white people in this neighborhood? When you see the artist, oh, all right, okay. They really do. They've stopped my gallerist, she said, many times.
The police have.
Yes. And I used to have, and if I was having a white worker in there, you know, they work into the evening on the... In the wintertime, it's not even late and it's dark, and they're driving out, and the cops would stop them. I mean, what's going on? Oh, all right.
That's crazy. That does happen. I got stopped. I call it walking while white at Park Heights and Belvedere one night.
Yeah, but you got you do stuff. See, Mark, you can't do any of that because you do stuff. You whistle. You wear bright clothing. You affect the different kinds of languages. You know, personas, and just people don't know what's going on. I have known him for a long time, folks.
A long time.
I say
long time. This is. I'm so excited about this. You know, I was thinking about how some 20-odd, whatever years it was, we knew each other before you had the BMA exhibit in...
Long time.
2000, when you had that exhibit, Joyce Scott kicking it with the old masters, which was really amazing. It was the first time a black woman had ever gotten this honor, or a living artist had gotten this honor at the BMA.
It was the first show for Doreen Bolger.
It was, right,
so,
right,
I mean,
right.
She'd just come to the museum, so it was a really ballsy thing for her to do. And the Cone Sisters, I love them very much. That's why I can say that about them. I love their collection a great deal.
Right.
They were renovating that collection, which meant the museum gave us a lot of space. We had virtually the entire museum. So I think I did four installations. We had many spaces. It was pretty amazing. And they opened the front doors for us, which they hadn't done since I was a kid. And all the arts community came. It was an amazing thing for the African-American community, for everybody. But, you know, for African-American community to see this happen, it was a really big thing. And people with their kids were just it was just pretty amazing.
Well, I mean, I think, though, that also speaks to your body of work and the stuff you've committed yourself to doing. I mean, whether it was the humor you did and the comedy stuff you've always done, Thunder Thigh Review, the
Kayla Wal Muhammad, yes.
Right, who's amazing, an amazing woman, amazing actor, and the character you created, Rodney Dangerous in the Field, right?
The first stand-up slave comic. I don't get no respect. Yes.
I mean, but and your work, I mean, it speaks to the soul of hundreds of years coming to fruition in this last century, in this century.
Well,
right?
Can I say, Mark, that, you know, one of the adages that's said all the time is like, I stand on this person's back.
Right.
I stand on all these shoulders, and I'm one of those great examples of that. I really am a kid who, I'm a Sandtown girl, and to see how that neighborhood is decimated from where it was in the 50s and early 60s when I was living there and going to school and, you know, everybody was Little Joyce and everybody knew everybody else's kid, not everyone, because, of course, the projects are really large, but the ones that are closest to your house, you really had real neighbors. And we lived on the second floor of a very, you know, like a 3-4-story house that was meant to be a house originally.
Right.
And it was really, we had our own floor. It was wonderful. And the lady on the first floor was the person who always made sure I got home safely in the apartment because I was a latchkey kid. You know, not very different from many kids who parents are out working somewhere and they have to come home alone. And to see what's happened there now is very startling. And it talks about a city that's in real trauma. But my point is, I'm a girl from there who never let her dreams be squashed, and that can happen for anybody who's trepidatious, who'll just stay on the road. Ta-Nehisi's a really great example. I mean, in his books, he talks about being frightened to come home.
Right.
You know,
right.
And he is, if you read anything that he writes, my God, he's so brilliant. So this is really about also celebrating those who came before you.
And I mean,
I'm trying not to stand on anybody's shoulders in high heel shoes. No Louis Vuitton. And your sister won't even have Louis Vuittons. We just spray paint the bottom of
That's
our
it.
Shoes red.
I mean, you
did ghetto Louis Vuitton. Yes, love.
I think about your mom.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It was a great artist, incredible quilt maker, lovely human being. And the influence she had in your life, both as a woman and as an artist.
Well, she was quite, you know, she was incredibly influential. When people say, when did you start? When did you know you were an artist? I always say, in vitro.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And when I came out, I said to the doctor, move, you're in my life. I mean, I was ready, babe. I went back in twice because I didn't like the first two takes. But boom, boom. That's vaudeville for you.
Really?
Shut up,
but
Kayla Wall. And I can't tell you, not only was she, of course, influential for me, but I can't tell you how many emails and phone calls I've received saying, I just got a very nice letter today saying, you know, your mom must be making quilts, jumping around, laughing in heaven. Thank God they all fled heaven.
Where else would she be?
She was a rascal for this. And this really represents an extra-generational thing, because my mother came from a long line of craftspeople, and my father's side came from quilters, and they all coalesced in me. And this is one of those things about celebrating and appreciating your ethnicity. It doesn't mean that I believe that I'm better than anyone else. It really means that I celebrate where I come from, and I use these tools that I was given that may seem to be for those people who are, I can't say this because I've met physicists who are really wonderful, but those people who are more technologically bent might believe that this is a cute thing to be, but I mean, this is a science. These are amazing scientists. And if you know that my parents were sharecroppers, and not that many years before my mother, since she was born in 1916, she says she knows her grandfather, who was a slave.
Right.
These people were superheroes.
Yes.
I mean,
right. No. And I think that what you do, what you have done, and men and women like you have done, the art you've created, I mean, and why it's so powerful and important is because it's, for all these years, these decades, has been speaking to who we are that's been ignored, and speaking to who we need to become and understand the rootedness of it all. I mean, it really is important stuff. The role of people like, as you, artists, who bring this to the fore, is critical for our future, critical to understand who we are.
And I don't think that it has been ignored, because I exist, you exist. I think for me, it just hasn't taken the prominence that it means to help change this society.
Right.
Because what could be better than thinking creatively? And people really, really foster that in the scientists, in the sciences, and other kinds of fields where you should think creatively. But when they think about the arts, they think it's kind of cute, but they forget that everything that they do directly relates to the art. Everything you wear, everything you sit on, everything that you eat from, all of these things you hold come from a class, from the arts class. And I think if we could appreciate it in that way. When I work with folks, I say, like, especially young kids, like, I don't really care if you become an artist or not. Firstly, that would be competition for me, so no.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. But of course, about that, I'm joking. But it's all about thinking creatively and how we could change the world. If you could be a creative thinker, you might think about ways to make jokes or explain yourself and not have to fight someone. And that's what many, including you, comedians have done. They've always figured out, they've always been very creative in how they would win themselves through the world, because they realize that they maybe weren't as physically strong, or as, you know, their intellect was not necessarily what everybody wanted, but they knew how to use what they have creatively to make a difference. And certainly we need it in Baltimore. I mean, boy, do we need it. I always think of the folks who are out here who are so creative about doing things that are illegal. If we just get them into something else. We think of all 2008 and all of those people who robbed all those people. They were creative.
Right.
They should really be working in a bank. Not around money. But in some way, you know, some way about creatively talking about the position of folks in communities and stuff like that.
No, I think that we miss that. I mean, because our response is always kind of this, kind of arrest folks, put them away, when these kids need to be brought back in.
Can I tell you why I'm a genius?
Yes, tell me why you're a genius.
I know that. Now, right now,
I love it.
If anyone who knows me just went, oh, here we now, man, Joyce. I knew that money was going to go to her.
Hey, look, well, she was a nice person, so she got the money.
Good Lord. And the sister's child, I told you. Well, I was thinking about this the other night, and I even looked up genius again, and I thought, well, I could be that, but who the hell couldn't be? Because it really talks about, you know, somebody who does a certain thing very, very well and achieves also some acclaim for it. And certainly that woman who fixes the best apple pie or whatever can be, you know, a genius in many ways. But why am I a genius? Because I stayed in Baltimore. Now, I know how that sounds, but a person who knows that they love and are loved by many, the Baker Award, we're talking about the MacArthur, but the Baker Award is a local regional Baltimore or Maryland award,
right,
given to folks because they appreciate what you've done within your life as a Baltimorean, Baltimorean. And I can tell you that I just feel that I'm still little Joyce in many ways, walking around the city and people will say hi, or when I teach, people want to know what I teach, or when I talk, they listen. And that's because of all the wisdom that I've garnered here. I mean, luckily for me, I've traveled a great deal, and my beginnings of making my My reputation wasn't in Baltimore. It was in other parts of the world and in the United States. But I never was not a Baltimorean.
Right.
I never was an around-the-way girl in the sense that I remembered where my footings came from. And literally now at the MacArthur, it's a international kind of acclaim.
Right.
But I still get from, you know, the folks down the street, and so many friends here. And to live and to work in a place where it's all right to be here, you know, where I'm not fighting against. Can you see me? I'm 67 years old as a waitress. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Firstly, I'm too fat, so I would knock everything off the table behind me with my big butt. But it's more like I've been able to create my actual profession, my vocation here.
So what do you think you'll do with this? What does this mean? How's this change?
Liposuction.
That'd be where you spend the first piece of money.
Liposuction. Well, here's a really terrible joke. Then I'm going to save the fat. I'm going to fry chicken and have a giant party because I give back to the community.
Oh, God.
Isn't that horrible? Thank God you're laughing because I'm sure there are people like... I know there are people at home like this. That's illegal.
Yeah, I have to double check before I come to your house and have some chicken then.
But they're like, that's illegal. You can't take a human fat. And I'm like, it's a joke. Because if you take fat, babe, it's a joke. Well, you know, when I talk about my parents, my father worked at Bethlehem Steel.
My mother
was a housekeeper and a maid, and they both were sharecroppers before they came to Maryland. And I'm my mother's only child, but my father has four children. So I have four siblings, and we all were the hardest working Negroes in the world. we used to fight the Jamaican for that title, you know, the Jamaicans. Quite honestly, I've always worked all the time. And part of it was because I would like to pay my gas and electric bill, but the other reason was to become a better artist all the time. Well, at this age, I could maybe slow down a bit. And also, a lot of my work was travel and not travel so much. And also be available to others. You know, I also this year became the first artist in residence at the Motor House, which is an arts organization with artist studios and arts organizations and a theater and maybe pretty soon a restaurant right in Station North on North Avenue.
Right.
And I got the Geezer residency.
You got the Geezer, did you? That's good. That's a good residency. Geezer, I like that.
But that allows me to work on something differently in a different studio. And already I'm working with Yvonne Hardy, who's getting her graduate degree in curatorial studies at BMA, and she's been able to do some things with me in that studio. I've already given a class, a bead class, and I'm going to be doing other things like that allow me to do some outreach. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but what about your own work? What do you?
Well, babe, I have two really big projects next year.
Yeah.
One is with Sonia Clark.
Uh huh.
Sonia Clark is an amazing African American artist.
She's amazing. Sonia Clark is incredible.
Her latest things, well, some of her latest things have been unraveling the Confederate flag. I mean, that's a performance and an art piece all in one at museums, just slowly and getting people to help her unravel it. So you see all the different kinds of connects that has. We're going to do a show in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And, you know, I wanted to do it because not only have I worked in Tulsa before, but what people don't really know, I think, about the Trail of Tears.
Right. Right.
Which is coming from the East Coast, Carolinas, all the way down to Florida, was that almost a third of those people, a quarter to a third of the people who walked that trail were the African slaves of the natives. Did you know that?
Yes, I did know that.
Well, of course you would know that, because you know. I ain't going to tell people why. After years in the, you know, in the community... Anyway, after years, trust me, in the community, Mark knows some things. So I thought, well, what happens when they got to Tulsa? You know, some of them were countryless because after the Civil War, some of the native tribes did not want them to become native. But I also thought about Black Wall Street, which was the decimation of a very rich black community in Tulsa. And I wanted to know if some of those slaves' descendants became prosperous people in Black Wall Street, and they did. So I thought, now this is a different, this is another Trail of Tears, and how do we work this out? That'll be what part of my work is, and Sonia Clark and I both, we both do work on identity and
right.
ethnicity. And
she's amazing.
Future Think, she is very amazing. She just got the Anonymous What's a Woman Fellowship. She's pretty amazing. So that's one. And then the second part of next year will be the culmination of a project that I've been working on. This is like maybe the second year at Grounds for Sculpture in New Jersey. It's it's a sculpture park, so there's sculptures everywhere. But I'm going to do outside and inside. So the inside will be a mini retrospective of my work and my mom's work, and also an exhibition of my contemporary glass work and sculpture. But on the outside, I'm going to do at least two very large Harriet Tubmans. One I hope to be 15 feet tall, made out of earth and plants, and with a big glass or mosaic rifle and a bag on her, beaded bag, and that will eventually just fall apart like her, our memory of hers, until she's getting on that $20 bill. And then as you walk to another part, there'll be a little glen, and there'll be another sculpture of her with glass and beadwork inlays under a tree with all kinds of glass things hanging. My father gave me a lot of quilt tops that he had in a smokehouse that his mom made, and they're going to be integrated. And,
oh, wow, really?
But let me say one more thing before you run out of time.
The
real thing that got me really wanting to do this, aside from it being an honor, was that I'm going to do another section inside that I think of as Harriet Tubman's, but Harriet's Closet Boudoir, which is a room that I'm creating that talks about what she did when she came home and sat down. You know?
Oh, wow. No, that's really important.
Yeah, it is.
People forget that Harriet Tubman was also a lady.
She was a lady, you know, at the end of her life. She turned her home into a nursing home for slaves who had nowhere else to go.
Right, exactly.
She was vigilant forever.
Yep.
So this will be beadwork and glasswork and textiles that I'm making specifically to talk about maybe a resting room for her.
Joyce, I really look forward to seeing you really soon and
thank
staying
you,
in
love,
touch.
Right,
and Joyce,
right.
You know, I love you, and I'm so happy for you getting this MacArthur for all of us.
Thank you, love.
And please be well and get strong.
Thank you. I am. Let me say thank you, the Baker Award. Thanks, MacArthur. And thank you, Baltimore, because y'all done made me a genius.
All right, baby, I love you. Thank
you. I love you, too, and thanks, Mark.
Thank you. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our senior producer is Mark Gunnery. Our producer is Imani Spence. Our research producer is Calvin Perry. Our production assistant is Nadia Ramlagan. Our engineer is Andrew Melton. And our intern is Morgan Sr. Michael Dixon. Our theme music is by Walt Matthews of Clean Cuts. And please send me your thoughts about today's program to talk@steinershow.org. The podcast of Mark Steiner Show, and share it with your friends. Visit us on the web at steinershow.org. Listen to us via your favorite podcasting app. Now for your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.